It's the First Amendment, broadband style.
It's a safe, well-engineered, perfectly designed machine.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. Now let's return to Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're talking with Diane Tucker about her experiences as Mrs. World 2007 and what it takes to win big. And to learn more about Diane, you can check out her website at www.diane-tucker.com. That's www.diane-tucker.com. Well, Diane, you, of course, have a fabulous career as a title holder. Not only did you win at Mrs. America and then again at Mrs. World, but you've also judged Mrs. America, which makes you really qualified to talk about what it takes to win those pageants. First of all, let's stop and take a moment to talk about what are actually the qualifications for someone who might be interested in entering the Mrs. America pageant system.
Well, for Mrs. America and Mrs. World, you have to be at least 18 years old. You have to be married, of course. And if you want to compete for Mrs. World, you have to just be a citizen of that country or be born in that country. And if you live in the United States now, that's okay, but you have to have been a citizen of that country that you were born in. And it was really interesting because at the Mrs. World pageant, there was several contestants that lived here in the United States, but they were, you know, Mrs. Mexico or Mrs. Iran, and they were living in L.A. And because they were born in that country, they were able to compete for Mrs. World. So,
I might be a citizen of the United States now, or I might be living in the United States, but I could be living in the United States, but I'm still a citizen of England, perhaps.
Right. Uh-huh.
Or I'm living in the United States, I'm a U.S. citizen, but previously I was a citizen of Germany.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I did not know that.
Yes. Yes.
So that really opens the door for lots of people, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, we had about 40 contestants last year and 30 contestants the year before at Mrs. World. And then every year we have a delegate from each state for Mrs. America, including the District of Columbia. So, and you, of course, you have to win your pageant for the Mrs. America. You have to win your state pageant beforehand.
Right. So what's the difference? Is there a difference? Is there a difference between competing at Mrs. America and then competing at Mrs. World?
You know, it's a little bit more competitive at Mrs. America. At Mrs. World, everyone's just so thrilled to be there. Some girls haven't even competed in a pageant before. Some countries don't have a pageant. They just contacted the Mrs. America, Mrs. World office for a phone interview, and then they're able to compete for Mrs. World.
So they were awarded their title.
Right, correct.
And they haven't actually competed yet.
Right, right. So most of these girls, half the girls, have never competed in a pageant before, or it's been, you know, 10, 15 years since they've competed in their last pageant. So they're just pretty much thrilled to be there. At Mrs. America, of course, you have to win your state and then go for Mrs. America. In some states like Texas, you have to win your city first, then your state, then go to Mrs. America. And a lot of girls from Texas and Colorado who have, like, you know, 50, 60 contestants, it's taken them maybe 5-6 years to win their state title.
There's no doubt that it's a very competitive system.
It is. So by the time they get to Mrs. America, they are there 110%. You know, they've had their consulting, they have the gown of their dreams, they're in the best shape of their lives, and they really want to win that title. So it does get very competitive. But luckily I've made a lot of great friends, a lot of friends from Mrs. America 2006 I still keep in contact with. I'm very fortunate of that.
That's awesome. Well, let's break it down by scoring category. As a judge at Mrs. America, obviously we don't want you to share anybody's specific score, but generally speaking, what were you looking for in the interview for, you know, picking out, you know, the girls that you really saw as the next Mrs. America? What were you looking for in interview?
I was looking for the girl next door, just someone who was really down to earth, that had a really dynamic personality, someone that I could have a cup of coffee with or go to lunch with, and just very down to earth and is there for the right reasons. I wanted someone who was very much involved in her community and had a passion for her platform. And of course that, you know, had a I always ask about their husband, but of course, having a very supportive husband is extremely important during your year of service, because you're on the road a lot. You're traveling a lot. You have to have a very patient, supportive husband and family. So I ask them about their husband and how he feels about them as a title holder. And I think that's really important. So, yeah, we have three categories of competition. 25 is swimwear, 25 is evening wear, and 50% is interview. So because interview is such a high percentage, you really want them to speak well and just be passionate about their platform, because that's what they're doing during their year of service. They're also speaking about their platform constantly, so you want them to be comfortable about that, know the research statistics, and really know their platform back and forth. I mean, you know, just very, very well. So
kind of the three highlights of interview for you were having a relaxed girl next door kind of style. It was very relaxed, very comfortable, kind of easy to get to know you, right?
Right.
And then also having a passion for your platform and being able to articulate that.
Correct.
And then making sure that you have a supportive husband. And I agree, that's so important.
It is extremely important, yes.
So those were the three things for interview. So ladies, I hope you're all writing that down. And now let's go on to fitness. What were you looking for in swimsuit?
You know, I was looking for someone that just really takes care of themselves, that, you know, does go to the gym. It doesn't have to be every day, because none of us have time to go to the gym every day, but at least once or twice a week, you know. And I ask them about their fitness and their exercise regimen, and if they include their family, I think that's really important, and it's great, I think, if they include their family and say, oh, we go for walks with our dog, or, you know, my kids and I do this, or, you know, my husband and I do that. And so I think that's great if you can not only go to the gym on your own, but if you can also include your family working out. You know, my husband and I love going for hikes in the mountains and go run the track at, you know, a nearby park. And so it's important to do that, because you're so busy as a title holder, you don't want your family to feel left out. So, you know, I don't want someone that's overly built, but just someone that feels healthy and that just really shines on stage, and that's important.
Right, because the whole purpose of the swimsuit category is not to be the most buff body on stage, but to demonstrate that you're leading a healthy lifestyle. And so I love what you said about incorporating that healthy lifestyle throughout your family, doing things with your family. Right. That way it's really a lifestyle, not just something you did for the pageant. But you're also teaching your children, or if you don't have children, participating with your husband in that healthy lifestyle, right?
Right. You don't want to have your family feel left out. I mean, pageants are, yes, they're important, but they're not everything, and you don't want your family to be upset about you competing in a pageant at all. So incorporate your family, get them involved, get them healthy. I mean, you're changing. You want to look your best for a pageant, so you want your family to be in on it too. Have them change their diet for the better and their exercise regimen for the better too. So.
Good advice. Well, let's go on to the glamour section. What are you looking for, Diane, in evening gown?
In evening gown, I'd like to see something simple. Simple elegance is very important. I think just the basic colors, like the deep jewel tones, are beautiful on stage. I've always liked, you know, black and champagne colors. But I think if it's something that brings out the best in them, you know, whatever colors are right for them. I love the deep jewel tone colors. So, but, you know, something that doesn't take away from the contestant. I don't like anything too blingy, but I really want to see the contestant and have her feel confident on stage.
I think that's a very, very common mistake. I see this at pageants all the time. Either the dress is so busy with lots of design elements, maybe it's a floral pattern or several different colors or too many rhinestones, and then they've got tons of jewelry on, a big necklace, a big earrings. Sometimes it's just too much, isn't it?
Right. I think it's important to get opinions from other people once you get the dress of your dreams. You know, just show it to your friends, your family, get opinions from them. And also the tailoring of the dress is extremely important. Take it to a seamstress, have it tailored to really snug your body well. Make sure if you're tall like me that it does hit the floor, that it's not too short. That's extremely important. I always had to buy one size larger than what I am for the length, and then have the seamstress rip it apart and make it as tight as possible because it was always hanging on me. So, yeah, the way it's tailored is extremely important as well.
And sometimes I tell people, instead of just looking in the mirror to see what your outfit looks like, because you're kind of having an emotional response when you look in the mirror, go ahead and take a Polaroid or a digital photo of yourself and then look at it the next day or an hour later and decide, you know, do I need to take the necklace off? Is the cuff jewelry too much? Is the earring too big? You need to try to look at it through the judge's eyes, don't you?
Right, you do. I think that's extremely important, too. That's a good point. Take a Polaroid of yourself, maybe email it to your friends and your family. And then also, the owners of the store are experts on jewelry, so maybe buy your jewelry from that same store that you bought the gown and have the owners of the store give their opinion.
Well, in our last couple of moments, Diane, I know our listeners would love it if you would share the three do's that you tell the people that you're coaching. And for those of you who don't know, Diane does offer coaching, and her website is www.diane-tucker.com. Oh, don't forget the dash, diane-tucker.com. What are the three things that you think contestants who are preparing for either their state, Mrs. America, or the Mrs. America, what are the three things they absolutely have to do?
Well, the first and foremost, is find a community service platform that you're extremely passionate about. Do your research on it and read as much as you can about your platform. The second one would be to brush up on your interview and communication skills. Read as much as you can. Watch, you know, all the news stations. Know as much as you can about your local, state, and national news and international news. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is health and nutrition. Make sure you're staying healthy. Make sure you're eating your three balanced meals per day, drinking lots of water. Cut out all the caffeine and sugar as much as you can. And stay healthy, because that's very, very important when you're preparing for a pageant.
You know, those are all three good advice, because I know for certain at the Mrs. America pageant and at the Mrs. World pageant, they really do delve into your platform, don't they? They want to know that you just haven't made one or two appearances. They want to know that you know the statistics about your platform. If you're affiliated with a national organization, that you know where that organization is headquartered, that you know how they do fundraising, how they're funded, how they're organized. They really want to know those things, and they will test you, won't they?
They will. They will. Well, yes.
They will absolutely test you. So, ladies, you have to know your platform inside and out. And then practicing the interview. It's amazing to me how many people do not practice their interview. They think, oh, I talk to people every day or I make presentations at work. But it's not the same, is it, Diane?
No, it's not. Just definitely make sure you've prepared your bio and your resume and your fact sheets, that you go over them maybe before dinner or after dinner with your family, talk to your friends about it, maybe have your friends sit down in a big circle. And that's what I did. I had my friends sit down in a big circle, 10 of us, and they each shot me a question, and it was very good preparation for my interview.
Right.
They gave me questions that I would have never thought about.
Right, and it can be a little intimidating to practice. You're worried you're going to sound stupid, but it's worse when you sound stupid at the pageant, isn't it?
Exactly. You don't want to sound stupid on stage and
no.
In front of millions of people.
I hate it when I sound stupid at the pageant. Well, we've been talking to the fabulous Diane Tucker, Mrs. World 2007, and her website, again, www.diane-tucker.com, and we so appreciate her sharing all her tips to win big. Well, that's it for this week's show. We want to remind you to keep your emails coming about the shows that you love and the shows you'd like us to do. Join me next week when my guest will be Robin Fleming of La Casa Hermosa, who will be talking about the art of styling a winning pageant wardrobe. And don't forget to sign up for my free newsletter at www.pageantinterviewcoach.com, which is full of tips and techniques to help you become an elite contestant. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and make this week a pageant fab week. Are you frustrated shopping for your pageant wardrobe in stores where the selection is limited, is outrageously priced, or just not pageant worthy? Purchase your pageant wardrobe from someone who can help you find exactly what's right to fit your look, personality, and budget. Someone who understands your needs. After all, she is a former national title holder herself. Nerita Stefanos, owner of My Crowning Closet and Mrs. American Queen 2006, knows the pageant world and knows what it takes to put together a winning wardrobe, even on a limited budget. Visit MyCrowningCloset.com today to find out for yourself. My Crowning Closet carries all the top pageant designers, including Giovanni, Sherry Hill, Tony Bowles, and lots more.
Narita can help put together your winning look in all areas of the competition. With personalized customer service and a caring touch, My Crown and Closet is a winning combination. Visit MyCrownandCloset.com today and develop the winning look to capture that crown.